Good morning to everybody.
Morning.
Yeah, all right, good. Yeah, it's just casual. It's not this lecture series here. Great to have everybody. If you're visiting, welcome. If you're back just for Labor Day, welcome back. Catalina is going through quite a change. There's all kinds of things that come and go. This week, dead for the most part. The boats were slow. The town felt like a little bit like October. Several days in there. Slowed down quite a bit, and then the cruise ship did its thing, and it looks as if we've got energy rolling into Labor Day. It is going to be one of the heights of the season here, and it gets busy, and so we have found ourselves in this series of adventure management, and today, busyness. Before the weekend of Labor Day, does that work for you?
Oh man, it works for me.
Some of you guys are sitting here going, where am I right now? I've worked till 2 in the morning last night. Oh, that clip says it all. It's great. I mean, there's this young man. He's doing a study on wolves in the wild.
He's got this crazy pilot whose plane literally begins to freeze up.
And he ends up finding himself at the wheel of the plane. He ends up trying to figure that was not what he paid for. But he got the adventure of his life to save the plane while this guy's out on a wing with a wrench, right?
Oh, man.
You move to Catalina, and all of a sudden, Labor Day weekend happens, right? And you got to go out on a wing, and you got to figure out how to keep this ball rolling and keep yourself floating. You're tired. Many of us overworked, underslept. Some people underhydrated. I found myself that way in the last couple days with all the hot sun and all the fun out in the water and the things that are there. It doesn't take much, does it, on Catalina? This is an extreme place. It really is. Just got done talking to one of the guys over here, slowing down a little bit this time of the year, hoping to get into painting. An artist that's just budding in our Avalon area. No better place to groom yourself as an artist than Avalon.
True.
Right? Great place for it. But when it gets busy in your second or your third job, perhaps, and you see that dream
or you see that
creativity start to dwindle because you're caught over here. Well, this morning I'm going to help you out. And if you're visiting today, my name is Pastor Andrew. Welcome to the 10:30 this morning. We're going to dive right into this. We're in part 2 of this series called Adventure Management. You choose your own adventure, and we're talking about this for 3 weeks. And we kind of have the look about the stage here of some of the options that are a little bit more of the outdoor stuff. But there are other options. There's relational adventure, where you step out, so to speak, on a limb into a relationship or out of a relationship. Or you write a card to someone you haven't spoken to in 10 years. It's a family member, and it's a risk. For some reason, you've stopped speaking, and you take that first step, that adventure in relationships. And by the way, that's coming up next week. If you want to know the number one topic, if you're not too busy, you guys could be here for it, but we are going into relationships next week. And as we start with busyness, let's just start right from the very beginning and admit that busyness and this pace and this rush and activity and fatigue are all enemies of our lives. They are. You and I pack more into our schedule and try to commit to more than just previous generations or really even the culture or even the culture of Southern California. Okay? We're obsessed with going faster. A series of movies that came out and one not so long ago, Fast and Furious, right? Anyone seen that movie? Okay, I never saw the movie, but you understand. That really is a good description of our lives. It is. In fact, it's interesting that, you know, it's about cars and everything else, but Fast and Furious is the way that we live. Just by show of hands, making sure we're on the same page here, how many would say or you think, I'm probably too busy too often? Raise your hand. Okay? Look around. See? You're not alone. Not alone. There you go. What's funny about it is, we'll admit it, okay? We'll admit it with our hands. I was the first one when I wrote that down going, I've got to raise my hand. I've got to be that guy, okay? We'll write in and we'll say that we need help on it. We'll raise our hands. And yet we treat busyness, though, nowadays, with this badge of honor. Quite honestly, have you ever noticed this? We make busyness like it's a cool thing. How are you doing? Keeping busy? Right? That's what we say to people. Oh, yeah, man. I'm totally slammed. You? Oh, yeah. I'm up to my eyeballs, man. It's nuts. Staying busy. You know, I work 3 jobs. That's it. High five each other. Sleep's overrated. Okay? We do it all the time. We just love being busy. I had a t-shirt once. A young lady bought it for me, had it made, actually, when we went to Guatemala. And she was in charge of making sure people hydrated properly. And she would hold up this chart that actually had the color of pee on it, a urine chart, to make sure that your urine matched the right color of being hydrated. And each day, our mission team started off in the morning with some very grueling, embarrassing questions to make sure everybody was feeling the part, because there we were in a different country, in a different environment. She was funny. And she threw me this t-shirt she had made, and it said, "You can sleep when you're dead." And my name was below it there, and my family remembers that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but sleep can be overrated with a lot of people here. Matter of fact, I think busyness is kind of the new sexy, all right? Money used to be sexy. Now it's busy. If you're busy, you're something. You're a mover. You're a shaker. That's a sign that you're something, as opposed to saying if you're busy should mean you drank the Avalon Kool-Aid and your life is totally out of control, okay? It is nuts around here because we live in Avalon. Catalina Island is extremely busy. Some of you are business owners, and you understand that make hay while the sun shines mentality, right? They're here on the island. Let's get into it. But we live a busy culture. We're fueled by Red Bull and Starbucks. I've got a field trip coming up later today that goes into tomorrow evening with a group of high schoolers. And I've already got them asking me if we can stop at Starbucks at least twice while we're out, okay? But we're racing all around, all over the place, just trying to afford a home, to live here, keep up with the Joneses. We're so busy, though, most of us don't even know who the Joneses are, okay? But we want to keep up with them anyway. You know, there's a phrase, and it goes way back for some of you guys, you remember it. But other people, we don't even know, we don't even care what the Joneses are. It's just like, how do I pay my rent this month? How do I get through my mortgage this month, okay? I work out with my varsity soccer team early in the mornings, right around 6 a.m., 6:15. And last Tuesday, we're pulling out of Machado Field. This is just before 8 a.m. And I was just locked the gate. It was a leisurely thing. I'm in my golf cart. I'm just pulling out of the entrance of Machado, making my right-hand turn. And I was interrupted by these, okay? Have you seen these guys, these speedwalkers in spandex? Just cruising up this massive group of people. I mean, I just made my turn. And somewhere between my golf cart, okay, and their dog, it just was almost this collision. And they looked at me like, "Get out of the way, Lardo. You know, I've got to get to the bathroom," kind of walk. They were moving. I mean, they're racing up the canyon. I'm going, geez, you know, sorry. All I did was turn right. But they were on their way, you know, and they were cruising, you know, and they had, you know, this goal in mind. It looked like they were heading to the restroom. They had to go and, you know, wouldn't get their spandex off in time anyway. They were flying up the canyon, and I'm sitting there, and I get this look, a lot of which represents Southern California. This is the image, just moving, just got to get where I'm going. My cardio workout burn. Get out of my way, dude. Well, excuse me. Sorry. What I'm here to say is that life wasn't meant to be a rat race. We actually could close in prayer with that. We could. Life wasn't meant to be a rat race. But for some of you in here, you're nodding and going, "I get it, dude. But I've got this. It's all balanced and it's good." But we do need to break it down because you may find something is there. It was meant to be an adventure. And not just an adventure, because in and of itself, these are casual adventures. Stand-up paddling is not enough for my soul. Tent camping may be great until I get a tick or two in my sleeping bag, and that's not so great. It's still not going to feed my soul. And hiking, it's awesome until, you know, the Santa Ana start blowing, and it's over 100 degrees. That's not enough for my soul. Adventure with God, where risk is involved, and you must step out in something unknown. that requires God, where you can't do it on your own. You can't handle it on your own. It requires God. That is an adventure. That is a risk. And that's where I'm going this morning. Great passage, Jeremiah 6. Look at your notes. You should have been given an outline here, and you can look anywhere you want, but take a look at the verse. Use a pen, use a pencil. Anything that God brings to mind, highlight it on there. This is what the Lord says. Let's read this together, actually. Can we do that? All of us together. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. We are at a crossroads. A lot of people this weekend are at a crossroads in their life. And stopping and slowing down is something that's needed. They just need to pause. I know with our family, and we've had a lot of company the last couple weeks, we've got some great folks that have been visiting us the last week or so. And it's caused us to come back to family because the guests that are in our house feel like family. And we can relax. We're not entertaining guests. We're one. We all feel relaxed. And if you're at a crossroads searching for a new way of living, you're tired of raising your hand and saying, yeah, I'm too busy. You're generally tired of just writing it in and seeking help and calling somebody and saying, hey, I need to talk to somebody about my schedule, or picking up a self-help book online on Amazon, whatever it is. I've got news for you. The busyness has done something to you. You don't like it. And it makes us look important, but it cripples our relationships. I have really close friends. We could be a lot closer if we got our busyness in order. If we actually communicated about our busyness to each other, where iron sharpening iron would take things in a different direction. Our friendships would grow. We'd have an understanding as to when someone kind of gets off track to help them along the way. And it's more than accountability. Accountability is kind of a scary word, and it already has this negative connotation to it. In my mind, I'd rather have somebody who cares for my soul. It's soul care. I care for your soul. And Hobbs, listen, you're going off the deep end. You're just biting off more than you can chew. What's going down? Where's this drivenness coming from? It may feed our egos, but it starves our soul. And it may fill our calendars, but it fractures families. And the busyness may prop up our image, but what it does is it minimizes our heart. And all of a sudden, you know, collectively, there's this gnawing sense within you that you don't want to keep living that life. And you start attending more functional things, more church and other things that bring life to your soul, a small group perhaps. And it's starting to change inside you. I don't want to keep that pace up. I want to be different. And I'm glad you're here. Whether you're a Christian or not, some of you just got off a boat. Actually, you're day tripping. I met a few, and you're cruised in here, and you're just checking this Avalon thing out. Maybe you're checking this God thing out, and you're not sure about it, but you're seeking, and you're looking at it. I want you totally to just pause and take a deep breath and participate as you are inviting God and His Spirit to do something in your life. This is a great picture of February on Catalina. Way different than the lines look down at the mole today with sold-out boats going in the other direction. I snapped this shot this year, and it's one of my favorites, reminding me that God's presence will come rushing in, and it will fill our hearts if you let go of control and that pace that you're running. Let things breathe inside your life. Let the Holy Spirit begin to move and take hold in your life, and maybe using human words to communicate what He wants with your life. This is on my list. This is on my list. This is what I'm dealing with. And as you look in your notes, I want to begin with the equation. And I want to end with an equation. And it may not make a whole lot of sense. So we got to break it down. But I want to begin with this. You've never seen before, because I made it up. Okay? I love doing that. I just started by what it takes to make us so busy. The equation goes like this. Okay? You got life's domains and demands plus your unique personality plus the life stage you're in plus crisis plus insecurities. Circle insecurities, because that's the one we're really going to go after today. Okay, but all of those things in the equation equal busy. I put a little check mark by those for you, you know, to follow along. Just look at those things. Let me mention these real quick. Life's domains and demands. We all have several domains, okay? We have work domains. We have family domains. A personal life domain. Social life domain. A spiritual life domain. Different domains that represent our life. All of which you try to balance. And each of these domains, they have heavy demand in our life. Not just my life, okay? I'm talking about everybody here. If you just stop there and focus on life's domains and demands and what it looks like, these domains and demands, you say, I'm busy just looking at those. It drives you nuts just to see that as an equation. Amen? Y'all are sleeping this morning. It's been a busy week, hasn't it? Let this sink in. Let this sink in. Some of you are in a domain right now. You're like, I'm in a sleep domain, Hobbs. Wake me up, okay? This is a busy, busy time of the year. Don't let the weariness of pretense take you over when God's word is going out. Amen? Let yourself look at the crossroads. You're standing somewhere right now. Choose your path wisely this morning. Look at it carefully, okay? And all of these things that come into it. I'm busy, and when you add on personality, oh my gosh, your unique personality will influence how you manage those individual demands. Things are coming at me all the time. Some of you work with kids. Some of you are teachers starting on Wednesday. Some of you guys are in the harbor, and 5 boats show up, not 1. Okay? Some of you are in a restaurant, and the orders trickle in, and then they flood in. Some of you are servers. You had 1 table, now you have 19 tables. And you understand where I'm going with this. Camps are arriving in the coves. It's busy. And all of a sudden, you have 1,000 decisions to make instantly, and your personality plays a big part in it. I'm a type A personality, okay? Type A wants to go, do, and achieve, and get it done, okay? Go, do, and achieve it, get it done. I kind of hover in this fantasy world that believes that I can actually add more to my plate without taking something off. That's where I'm at, okay? That's type A, that's what we believe. Give me something else. I can take it on. We're actually thankful for that kind of stuff. Luckily for me, I am married to pretty much the opposite of type A. It is a type U personality. You've never heard of that because it means unwound. And my wife is totally unwound. She's totally kicked back. She has the capability of going into type A, but she's way different than me. She's totally easygoing. What she does a lot of times is she'll diffuse my personality in chaos. For me, I'm like, let's go. Let's do it. I know somebody else like that. My daughter. Let's get this done. Let's be productive. And she's, relax, Skippy. All right? It's not all about it. You saw that photo. You know, I want to climb the mountain. She would like to sit underneath it for a while. She balances my life. And she doesn't really care about what people think of her. Type U are really, there's no deadlines. Okay, they're what we call casual time suggestions. Type A, like me, we have goals, priorities, to-do lists, multiple calendars, integrate multiple tasks, go, do, achieve, conquer, basically drive people crazy. That's what we're like, as I've done several times in my marriage. One fight I will never forget when I gave my wife what I thought was a good gift. I gave her a foot massager. Is anybody awake this morning? I gave her a foot massager, guys. This little thing that I found at a store. It was small. You put hot water in it, and it does its little thing. I'm just thinking, this is the bomb, okay? Which pretty much scream like me, be like me, my feet are killing me, all right? But I bought her this gift, kind of like guys buying season tickets to a Chargers game or something like that. I blew it, okay? I thought it was an appropriate gift for Christmas. It did not go over real well at all. Shelley, type U. Her personality lives by this model. I'll use it when I get to it if I deem that it's even important to use. It was like, there it goes type thing. I blew it. I have not shopped like that ever again. I'll just let you know. But that one day was lesson learned. She remembers that too. By show of hands, I'm curious about this service. How many of you in here are more like Shelley? Anyone? Type U? Yeah, okay. Wow, a lot more. Interesting, okay. I'd love to do church just for you like that. We could start whenever we wanted. Wouldn't that be great? 10:30 becomes the 10:45. You wouldn't care if we filled in the blanks or just skipped verses, things like that. Not type A's. Hops, you missed a blank. They're back there in the sound booth. You didn't cover that verse, but it was in your notes. Hey, you're 1 minute over, Pastor. You've gone way too long, all right? Or how, 15 minutes over. I'm going to let you know, things like that, okay? Not type A's. They're all over me. The busiest thing, they got domains, they got demands, personality, life to the edge. Ah, I'm standing up here. I see many different life stages. I pastor throughout the week. We've got teenagers in my family, okay? We've got college students. That's a life stage. We've got single people in this congregation and college students. We got single parents. That's a life stage in and of itself. God bless you if you're a single parent. I don't know how you do it. You've got young marrieds with toddlers, okay? Married with teenagers in this room. We have empty nesters in this room. The golden years, you're living life, smelling the roses, okay? Though when you bend over to smell the roses, you throw your hip out. That's great, okay? Some of us in here, you're glad you're here. You're not really changing your life stage. You'll just admit our stage will impact our business. Keep away from me, Pastor, okay? They're just different life stages. This congregation's made up of everything, from 8:30 all the way to 6 or 7 at night. Throughout the course of the week, our small groups definitely reflect different life stages. My wife, she might have the personality thing going for her, but we're in a life stage where we have one high schooler, okay, and we have three young adults, a 19, a 21, and a 23-year-old. One is a teenager. The 15-year-old, she thinks she's a young adult. The technical term for this life stage is nuts, okay? She just got her braces off this week. But I have Alex. Let's start with Alex, okay? Can we do that? There we go. Alex, three shots of Alex here. Some of you have never met my oldest. That's his wife, Lizzie, and their dog, Alvin. He is a pastor in Florida at Flagler Church, and he handles the worship and small groups and men's ministry there. Outgoing guy, and Chi, that's a shot of this week. Chi went from our band to Flagler playing the cajon or the djembe, it looks like, for that band. So he's picked up. That's a fresh shot there. Then I have Maddie. There's two shots of Maddie. Her fiance Rudy is with us this morning. Both of them, Santa Barbara, graduate of Westmont, both of them, and engaged, moving forward in their life with what God may have in store for them. She's already started teaching. I've got that stage. I got two teachers in my family. This is crazy. And then we have Chi. You guys, I don't spend a lot of time with him this morning because you know him. He's been hanging out with us. He's just in beast mode all the time. He's been working for scuba stuff, and he loves hanging out outdoors. That's his life. And he's going through life stages and changes as a sophomore in college. Grace is the one that confuses all of us. She's a little bit of everybody in one body, and she's excited about life. The sky's the limit where she goes to school. But believe it or not, she's already looking at colleges, and I'm in this life stage. My wife and I, trying to figure this out. Doing a college tour for our youngest a couple weeks back. There's another one in the equation I put here, especially after the braces came off. Crisis. There's another one in the stage there. If you're not in crisis right now, good for you. Okay? But look in the rearview mirror. Just letting you know. Okay? One's coming your way, and that's called life. And it comes all different stages right now. We're praying over a wonderful young family who just, a mother just gave birth just less than a handful of weeks ago to a beautiful child undergoing the need of surgery in this next week. And I mean, all heck is breaking out. There is so much pressuring this family, this marriage, everything. Crisis, crisis. I need help. She's calling out for help. And our church is there, and wonderful people in this congregation and others are there saying, we hear you. What can we do? Can we do more? Crisis is all around. So that adds to the complexity and that busyness equation. Already looking at colleges for my last one. That's just nuts, okay? I'm trying to figure this out. But the biggie I want you to see, and this is where I end up this morning for the most part, is this one. It's the one that I've struggled with. Insecurities. Insecurities. This is the one that I really would love to skip. Because my kids are here, a lot of them. And it's hard as a father to admit those things. But I go there for fear that if I don't tell them everything about me, that they may stumble themselves and waste years of their life. Just not worth it. Insecurity plays a big part. And because this is a painful one, this is the part that nobody really loves to talk about. But what happens in our insecurity is this, is it drives us to do more. Our insecurities want to be fed with value and worth and achievement, recognition and love, so we get those things. We go after those things.
Okay.
The term I use, I say I have this insecure dragon inside me. It's very ugly. I'm spending a lot of time in my life wanting to slay this dragon. Okay. But this dragon has learned that in order to feel value and worth and love, that it has to achieve and it has to go. And it has to do. Does that make sense? Okay. Dragons all over this place. Okay. And if you can identify with that, especially right now this season, you know, groan a little bit for me. Can anyone groan a little bit for me? Okay. Yeah.
Achievement, value, worth.
Reasoning. That was a really weak groan, by the way. That was really weak. You can do groan a lot louder because I did when I was writing this down going, I've got to get personal. Here it comes. Here it comes. Nice. I'll pray for you. If you look at this equation, though, what all of these add up to is, number one, here it is, busy. That's what it adds up to. That's what it equals. We're all busy. I'm sure there are other factors here that add to the formula. There are. But these are the five major ingredients. And I will tell you this. If you want to stay on the surface of life, if you want to live a superficial life, then what you're looking at here, and when life really starts to change and gets busy, here's what you tend to do. You say, I'm just going to put a Band-Aid on this stuff, okay? And this week on the soccer field, or last week, found four Band-Aids on the field. It was gross. I was picking, this is sick. They're all over the place. Band-Aids, they don't do anything other than just keep you from getting re-injured or opening something or keeping infection from getting in there. But here's the problem with a Band-Aid is it's just covering the surface. If you really want to go deep, you say, yeah, I'm busy, but I'm going to get a book on time management, Andrew. And guess what? Starting Monday, I'm going to make a to-do list. I'm going to clean out my golf cart. I'm going to go clean out my pantry. I'm going to work on my laundry. I'm going to set my watch 15 minutes ahead, confusing myself to think that, whatever it is, and I'm on time. And you begin to play these little games. These are just Band-Aids. If you want to stay on the surface, none of this is going to get well. And this is where I've had to go with a lot of great Wild at Heart boot camps. Things settling into my soul. You have got to do surgery. You got to combat busyness and go after surgery. Go after that something that digs. It's the cause, and dig a little deeper. I hope you'll be willing to do that. As a matter of fact, what I want to say is this. Before you even commit to going deeper, let's just pause for a second and begin a list. I'm going to give you some words to write under Band-Aids don't heal the wounds of busyness. Okay? Band-Aids don't heal the wounds of busyness. Here's some words to write down. Busy that brings out in us. Okay? Even before you commit to saying you want to make some changes, allow God to make some changes in your life. Let's talk about some of these things that it reveals that we don't like. Number one is this. One would be anger and a lack of peace. You just get angry all the time. Just an angry person. Hard to find you at peace most of the time. These are signs of busyness. Resentment. Bad decisions when you're busy. Clarity is difficult. You really don't make good decisions. Regret. And by the way, that's a biggie, regret. It almost didn't make the list, and I'm sitting there going, why in the world would this not make the list? It is huge. A lot of people have a busy life, and they regret how they've lived it, and it settles back into them, and they're fighting something. You don't realize it. Regret is settling in there. It's huge, okay? Apathy. How about that? Where you become overwhelmed. You just kind of give up. You compromise morality. See it all the time here. People shacking up with each other. We've got people in our neighborhood that are choosing other spouses to live with. They're just switching spouses left and right. And there's kids in the family that don't understand what's going on. It's confusing. Your morality's been compromised. Your decision-making, they're in terms of right and wrong. It's all busy. The black and white is now gray. and they merge together. As a matter of fact, the gray becomes very attractive to a lot of people. They compromise. They actually get closer to it, and they think they deserve something that's out there. They've had such a conservative upbringing, they don't get it. Another one I deeply care about is this, superficial faith. Just on the outskirts, okay? You don't have a superficial faith out of defiance to God. It's not like you're putting your fist up to God and turning your back to Him. You've just told me this. You're too busy for God. So it's not like you're looking at Him, sticking it to the man. It's like, I'm just too busy for you, God. That's another way of showing it. Your prayers are on the run, or your prayer life is non-existent. Am I hitting home with anyone? Yeah. I mean, we had a guy up here last week. He's a Navy SEAL. He's been through an awful lot. He said, I really didn't have time in God's Word because of my schedule. I mean, it was sun up to sundown, 4:30 in the morning, but I had time to do what? I had time to pray. And that's what he did. He said, man, I didn't have time to read, but I had time to talk to my Father. I had time to get with Him. It was good. He made time. He figured out how to do it in the midst of time that he really, you know, where you can't make time. This is kind of crazy. But taking the time to develop the gifts that God's given you, I just found out someone else loves to sing this morning. And she's a really good singer. And I'm sitting here going, man, our worship team could use, you know, some extra musicians up here. That would be great. Sometimes it's neat to have a break if you're up here a lot and to take a week off. Some people travel over town and people having someone to fill in for them. It's a cool thing, you know. Have you ever looked into the gifts that God's given you, or are you just too busy? Painting, for instance. Technical stuff, working with kids, you're good with kids, you're comfortable in front of people. They're all gifts from God, and there's more. That your mind, possibly, and your heart are not being able to be shaped or be influenced by the Word of God because you're just too busy to settle in and actually read the Word of God.